Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radio Lab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radio Lab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Today on The Brian Lehrer Show, we will double team you. I have a guest co-host just for today. I'll explain why in a minute. Many of you know Juan Manuel Benitez, host of Puta Politica, the politics show on New York One Noticias, New York One's Spanish language news station. Juan filled in for me when I was off on Monday, for example. Some of you heard that, as he does from time to time. So first, let's welcome him for the day. Hi, Juan Manuel. Thanks for sharing the ride with me today.
And thank you for having me, Brian. We can maybe be the Mike and the Mad Dog of public radio. One of us talking fast and the other one talking slow, or maybe Curtis and Kubi and argue with each other for the next 2 hours.
Or Sean Hannity and Megyn Kelly, maybe, even though they're not co-hosts, they're back-to-back on Fox News Channel. But did you hear they got into a public spat this week because Kelly called out both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump for refusing recently to do any real journalistic interviews, and in Trump's case, only doing friendly media interviews, like she said on Hannity's show. Here it is.
And now they're both in their own version of a presidential protection program, with, you say, they've designed her situation so she's not in a place where she feels uncomfortable or is anything unexpected could come at her, which is why she sat for a half an hour with Mary J. Blige, the singer, which is why she did Entertainment Tonight this evening, which is why we just found out that when she went on the Steve Harvey show, she had every single question given to her in writing in advance, and then she feigned surprise as the questions were asked. And Donald Trump, with all due respect to my friend at 10 o'clock, will go on Hannity and pretty much only Hannity and will not venture out to the unsafe spaces these days, which doesn't exactly expand the tent for either one of them.
So Sean Hannity couldn't stand being told that his softball interviews of Trump were softball interviews. So he tweeted, "Kelly, you should be mad at Hillary Clinton. Clearly you support her. Ouch." And Donald Trump did talk to you. So this made the news, Juan Manuel, for Sean Hannity saying Megyn Kelly supports Hillary Clinton.
Let's hear it.
So, no, and we don't have,
we
that,
don't have that
because it was just a tweet.
So if I ask someone too easy of a question this morning, will you accuse me of being a traitor to the cause?
Well, maybe not. I'll go easy on you, but only because you're a guest.
You know, it's not just Megyn Kelly calling out a fellow Murdoch media people this week. Did you hear what Mayor de Blasio did yesterday?
Tell me.
Well, he refused to take a question at his news conference from the City Hall Bureau Chief of the New York Post. The mayor called it a propaganda paper. Listen to this.
I got no use for a right-wing rag that attacks people who are good public servants and tries to undermine their reputation.
So we'll do a longer segment on this later in the program with our New York One and WNYC City Hall reporters, Grace Rao and Bridget Bergen.
Right. And when we do, we'll open up the phones on the question. If the New York Post is objectively out to get Mayor de Blasio rather than out to report on him, which could make the case that it is he right or wrong to shut them out at news conferences? Juan Manuel, do you think he is?
Well, he himself said later that he would take their questions in the future. And his former press secretary, Karen Hinton, said that he should, that not doing it doesn't really help him.
And maybe he was doing it for political reasons. We'll ask Bridget and Grace what they think, just trying to energize his progressive base in advance of next year's mayoral reelection campaign. We will see. We will get back to that question later. But folks, here's why we're co-hosting today, in case you're wondering. I was supposed to go away this weekend to visit family in Florida, and Juan Manuel was going to host today's show by himself, but a certain little piece of Florida weather got in the way of my plans. Did you hear they're having a little weather down there?
I think I heard something about that.
And my flight was canceled, and here I still am. So rather than sit around at home and twiddle my thumbs, and rather than bump Juan Manuel from the chair after he carved out the time from his own life, we just decided to co-host for the day. So what do you want to talk about?
Well, how about the Nobel Peace Prize being awarded this morning to the president of Colombia for trying to make peace with the FARC guerrilla?
Yeah, even though the voters of Colombia rejected the peace agreement last weekend in a national referendum, I can already imagine tomorrow's New York Post headline. Out-of-touch elites in Norway diss the regular folks who demand law and order.
We'll have a guest with us later to explain the complexities of this and the politics.
Good. But let's start with United States politics. There's a little showdown that'll be on television Sunday night.
You mean the Giants versus the Packers on Sunday night football?
Yes, of course. And Rangers versus Blue Jays is on that night, too, in the American League playoffs. But no, seriously, it'll be debate night in America once again, with the pundits saying already that Donald Trump better do something pretty magical if he wants to climb back into the race in some key swing states, because it's getting late. People are voting already. There's a lot of early voting already taking place. It is actually election day already from now until November 8th. And one of the reasons that I'm glad you're on with me today is that Spanish language media has actually been a key focal point of maybe the biggest single thing to last in the national conversation after each of the first two debates. Alicia Machado after Clinton versus Trump, and with Mike Pence in the vice presidential debate saying to Tim Kaine, you whipped out that Mexican thing again. So in political analysis terms, I think it shows how much the candidates think the Latino vote and the Latina vote matter to the outcome. Let me replay those moments. Clinton inserted the former Miss Universe, Alicia Machado from Venezuela. And remember, Trump owned the Miss Universe pageant at the time. Into this first debate, as Clinton was making the case for Trump being a one-man basket of deplorables.
And one of the worst things he said was about a woman in a beauty contest. He loves beauty contests, supporting them and hanging around them. And he called this woman Miss Piggy. Then he called her Miss Housekeeping because she was Latina. Donald, she has a name.
Where did you find
her? Name
where
is
did you
Alicia
find this?
Machado.
Where did you find
and
her?
And she has become a U.S. citizen, and you can bet she's going to vote this November.
Okay, good.
Juan Manuel, wow. I know everybody focused on the question of her weight after that, but I thought it was just as important that Clinton brought up this Miss Housekeeper remark, Trump's lovely little nickname for that particular Latina at that time sometimes, and saying he loves beauty contests. He loves being around beauty contests, which is another little dig. How big a thing was any of that for the rest of the week on Spanish language media in general?
It was huge. The whole thing was, we have to say, the whole thing was masterfully packaged by the Clinton campaign, and Donald Trump took the bait. So it was really big on Spanish language media, and well, we have a long history of remarks that are not that nice toward Latinos and toward Mexicans. So I'm sure we're going to keep talking about those in the next few minutes.
And listeners, I thought we might open the phones for a few minutes and invite anyone who is following the presidential race in the Spanish language media or any non-English language media. Call us at 212-433-WNYC 433-9692.
Yes, and tell us what you're reading or seeing in Spanish or French or Hebrew or Arabic or Chinese or Korean.
Or in Flemish or Polish or in British or Canadian. Oh, okay, just kidding about British or Canadian. But tell us what you're reading or hearing in any non-English language media about the presidential race. Who is following it in any non-English language media, folks, in addition to English? 212-433. I say in addition to English because I assume you're only listening to this show if you're also following the race in English. 212-433-WNYC. Although people do ask, what language is it you speak on that show? 212-433-9692. For some of our bilingual folks who are consuming English and other language media about the election, 212-433-9692. How are they different? What's interesting that other people might like to know about in particular articles or broadcast stories or online from other language media? 212-433-9692. 9-2, share it with the rest of maybe the class that doesn't speak your language. And here's the moment from the vice presidential debate while your calls are coming in. That was the top trending post-debate item on Twitter, at least for the hours immediately after the debate. It wasn't about Tim Kaine being, you know, Mr. Interrupty. It wasn't about Mike Pence saying Donald Trump didn't say half the things he said. It was this.
When Donald Trump says women should be punished, or Mexicans are rapists and criminals,
I'm telling
or John McCain's not a hero, he is showing you who he is.
Senator, you whipped out that Mexican thing again.
Can you defend it?
There are criminal aliens in this country, Tim, who have come into this country illegally, who are perpetrating violence and taking
American
lives.
You want to use a big tar brush against Mexicans?
He also said, and many of them are good people. You keep leaving that out of your quote. And if you want me to go there, I'll go there.
Correction, by the way. He didn't say many of them are some people. He said
some.
And some of them, I assume, are good people after he said they're rapists, they're criminals, they're drug dealers. So that was the whole exchange. I'm going to play the first few seconds of that again because it's the last thing that Pence will say in this version of the clip that really broke out.
When Donald Trump says women should be punished or Mexicans are rapists and criminals,
I'm telling
or John McCain's not a hero, he is showing you who he is.
Senator, you whipped out that Mexican thing again.
So that line was a big thing on Spanish language media?
Not only Spanish language media, but also on Twitter. It was a trending topic, that Mexican thing, right? And it was extremely... so to say, surprising, right? We have to say that it was surprising because Pence had been behaving so calm throughout the whole debate. And all of a sudden, it seemed to me that he had lost the grasp or lost that calmness, the way he had behaved the whole debate. So that was big. And also, like you said, it's not that Donald Trump qualified his initial comment saying many of them. He says some, I assume, are good people.
He was trying not to do what Trump did in the debate with Clinton, which is to let Kaine get under his skin by repeatedly interrupting and repeatedly pointing up all those things that Donald Trump has said that are so objectionable to so many people. So maybe by then he was rankled a little bit. It was right near the end of the debate. I guess that Mexican thing again. And I think I wonder, did people, you know, was it responding just to that Mexican thing again, like writing off Mexican people like just a thing, or also that he said you whipped out, which has this sort of genital connotation?
I think both. But can you imagine if he had said that Jewish thing or that African thing? And this is the most terrifying thing for many Latino Americans right now during this election. Donald Trump has normalized this kind of speech in such a way that we don't really see the impact of something, of a comment like that one, or we just like, you know, we think that maybe it's not that important. So we always have to exchange. We have to change that Mexican adjective for maybe Jewish or African to really understand how damning a comment like this it is.
That's always a good exercise. If somebody is doing something that's being received as offensive by a group other than your own, and you have a tendency to go, oh, they're being so sensitive, substitute your group. And then see how you feel. That's a really good exercise to keep in mind in general. Well, let's take some phone calls. Look at this board, Juan Manuel, of people who are following the election in a variety of different languages.
Yes, and we have Judy from Manhattan. Hi, Judy. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Hi, hello. How are you guys?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
So what's your other language?
My other language is Spanish. I am from Mexico originally. I arrived in New York about 25 years ago. I'm now an American citizen.
And what media are you consuming? What Spanish language media to follow the race?
Well, I do watch NY1 noticias in Spanish. I do watch Pura Política with Juan Manuel.
A fan, Juan Manuel.
I think I know Judy, actually. A good friend of mine. Thank you for calling, Judy. But what do you think when you heard Mike Pence the other night saying that Mexican thing?
Well, to me, it's just such a transparent, it's just he blurted it out. He didn't think about it, but it so transparently, you know, shows how contemptuous, the Republican Party or people like him are about other people who live in this country who may not be white. It's this us versus them mentality. And it's just the fact that he blurted it out like that with such dismissiveness, you know, as if it's some annoyance, you know, like, oh, that Mexican thing that's been so pesky, annoying us all this time, instead of, you know, this the Republicans and the Trump campaign actually apologizing or even trying to correct course with the Latino vote that obviously they have completely lost. Instead of that, it's just this kind of thing which is just contemptuous. And that's, I think, how a lot of people read it, apart from the fact that it made for a lot of memes and funny, you know, funny puns and things like that, no?
Judy, thank you so much for your call. We really appreciate it. Let's go next to Myrick in Westfield. Myrick, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to comment on impact of American election in Poland, where I'm originally from.
Thank you. So you're following it in Polish media. What kind of Polish media? I'm just curious.
There is couple those considering leftist, like Newsweek.pl. That's the version of American Newsweek
in Polish.
Or there is a whole spectrum of right wing media. And by the way, there is this right wing party in power, which was recently pushing through Polish legislature, this punishing legislature for the women and undergoing abortion.
Yes, and that got defeated, right? Was that a national referendum, Myrick?
No, it wasn't a referendum. It was just basically, you know, the leading party have all the power they want, and there was this massive protest last Monday. They called it Black Protest, where women basically marched on the street, stopped working. And quite frankly, leading political party got you know, scared, and they didn't pass it.
And they didn't pass it. So,
yeah,
so are they covering the U.S. election in there was, of course, a significant abortion exchange at the end of the vice presidential debate. Did that get a lot of play in the Polish press because of what's been going on over there?
To some extent. However, there is something that I don't really get, even being Polish and American at the same time. Why people, Poles that are here, just like myself, are all for Trump, for whatever. I mean, they all, like, hate Hillary, she's this, she's that. And on the other hand, in Poland, Trump gets really, you know, bad press. I mean, they know he's a bigot, and everybody basically understands that this would be the end of NATO, the end of many alliances,
And yet you're saying he gets good press in Poland or bad?
No. Trump does not get a good press.
I see. So bad press in Poland, but he's popular among Polish Americans.
Exactly right. It appears like whoever, you know, likes Trump, whoever likes Hillary after landing here after 10-hour flight, all of a sudden likes, you know, Trump.
So, Myrick, you tell me. But what I know is that many East European immigrants, especially from the Soviet era, have tended to be Republican. Friend of mine, who's Polish and progressive in his politics in many ways, still likes to say, but what you progressives never understood in America is that Ronald Reagan was right. You thought Ronald Reagan was, brandishing his verbal sword too much at the Soviet Union instead of trying to make peace. But we in Poland and in the Eastern Bloc in general really appreciated it because the Soviets were our oppressors. So a lot of people from Eastern Europe come here and then tend to be conservative because the Republicans are tougher on foreign policy in that respect. But you tell me, since you're a Polish-American, why do you think your fellow Polish-Americans are somewhat for Trump?
I think they are dreaming of some kind of government that will take care of everything, which Republicans certainly aren't for us. But somehow or other, there is this complete disconnection between reality and dreams. Like, you know, the communism was basically the version that we had, was basically taking care of everything. You didn't have to find work because the working was mandatory. You could go to jail for not working.
Well, there was a joke in the old Soviet Union, which is everybody pretends to work and the government pretends to pay everybody.
That's exactly right. My father, as an engineer, was making equivalent of $50. I mean, of course, the refrigerator cost $45 if you could get it.
Yes. So, Myrick, thank you very much. I'm going to leave it there and get some other folks on. But Juan Manuel, that was really interesting.
It was really interesting. And I think maybe we can have a similar approach. I don't know, from Evryam from Brooklyn.
Who's following the Russian language press.
Exactly. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Hi, Evryam.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking me on the air. I follow closely Russian press and media on internet, and I can tell you, being from the Soviet Union, we all learn how to read between the lines and how to understand intentions of Russian propaganda. And now, what they are doing, they're pumping Trump image, portraying Trump as Putin's friend, and saying Russians understand completely that this is just for Americans' consumption. And the aim of it to undermine Trump's popularity here in this country, because Putin is not popular, this is obvious, and by association, Trump would go down as well. So they are very smart, and Russian propaganda is the best in the world by now, and they're doing this thing, and we should understand what's in reality the happening. And also the second thing, before moving from Soviet Union to America, I was sort of acquainted to a few KGB guys. They all went out of shadows proudly saying we are former KGB. And one of them told me, it was 91. Mm-hmm. One of them told me, please remember the name Clinton. Mm-hmm. And it was
meaning
90.
What?
Meaning he knew that I'm going to United States, and he told me that you will know this name.
Oh, I see, because mm-hmm. It was the year before Bill Clinton was elected. Ephraim, thank you very much. All right, we have people from all over the world, it seems like, are following languages from all over the world. Where do you want to go next, Juan
Manuel? Let's hear from Francisco from Bloomfield, New Jersey. Francisco, good morning. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, of course, that, you know, you're obviously going to have two different perspectives when it comes to the Spanish language and the English language. I listen to both. Obviously, you know, Trump is not a favorite of the Spanish language, so there's going to be some heavy doses of criticisms of his speeches and anything that he communicates with regard to Mexicans. However, I just wanted to mention one thing that I think we're all forgetting about. You know, as a Latino American myself, you know, I believe that we should try to follow the letter of the law. And, you know, illegal immigration is a problem in this country. And so, you know, I'm a moderate, so I'm not really comfortable with any of the candidates. But, you know, I think there is an issue out there that has to be confronted and not ignored, because, mm-hmm. you know, Trump is, you know, takes it to the extreme when he talks about it. And then, you know, it's being ignored by the Democratic Party as if it doesn't exist.
But Francisco, but beyond the illegal immigration issue, how do you feel about a candidate like Donald Trump that opens his campaign for president last year basically singling out a group of people living in this country, Mexicans, and calling them rapists and criminals? Do you think that maybe that has something to do with the apparent bias that you see in Spanish language media?
It absolutely does, because, you know, you offended people who are legitimately here, you know, people who are, you know, hopefully mostly good people. You know, unfortunately, everybody within every culture, you know, has, you know, people who don't follow the law or break it and whatnot in different various ways. But, you know, he obviously used some things that happened recently in the media, like that one individual who killed some young ladies. Uh-huh. That's obviously was mm-hmm. magnified by him. But
Francisco, I'm going to leave it there, so we can get some other voices on and voices that speak some other languages. Thank you very much. How do you deal with it, though, on your own show, Juan Manuel, on New York One Noticias? The question that he raises, that though Trump is, you know, extreme and seems very bigoted against Mexicans and other Latinos, that there is still an issue that's legitimate of illegal immigration.
Well, we try to be fair, right? It's not that we are trying to say, well, there are no problems in this country. We know that immigration and immigration reform and immigration policy has been a problem in this country for more than two decades, right? And many different politicians in Washington have tried to solve it. The same George W. Bush, also President Obama, not himself, but we know that George Bush tried to spearhead immigration reform when he was a president. So people in Washington, they know that there's a problem. And then at the same time, you have millions of people in this country that were they came to this country cold in a way because of the labor market in this country, mostly in the late 90s. And now they are saying, what do we do? We are second-class citizens. And now this presidential candidate is basically putting us all in the same basket and calling us criminals and rapists.
Let's go on to Eric in Jamaica, Queens, who also follows the election in French. Right, Eric?
That's correct, Brian. Good morning, Brian. Good morning, Juan Manuel.
Good morning,
over there, they're really concerned about Trump being potentially elected. They think it will be very bad for the world in general. And they conducted their own polls right now, you know, if the election was held in France. And Clinton is winning with an 86% to 14% margin. So that, you know, it's quite different as what we have here. But of course, they have their own political election next spring. And you can see some parallels in between both elections is that in France, people are very much concerned that they're going to end up with the same choices they had in the last presidential election. So there is a lack of representativeness of the people, you know, at the democratic level.
And Eric, question. How do you feel also, because this kind of rhetoric that we hear from Trump here in the U.S. is similar to the rhetoric that we are hearing now in some countries in Europe, even in France. You have on the National Front, right? Marine Le Pen, a really popular politician right now. So do you see any connections between what's happening here in the U.S. and what's happening right now in Europe?
Well, I think to keep it simple, it's basically the political of fears, right? I think it all comes from an economic situation where we're in this globalized world right now where inequality has been raising a lot. You know, you have really a lot of people suffering here and in Europe in general. And then for those people who have nothing to lose, you know, who are fed up with the system, they're like, we might as well try something new. If you have nothing, you know, and if you have nothing and you're willing to take some risks, and I think that's where it comes from.
Eric, thank you very much. So here's an interesting caller, I think. Jed in Sleepy Hollow teaches English as a second language to immigrants from various places. Jed, do I have that right? Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, that's right.
So tell us, who do you teach and what are you hearing from them about the election coverage?
Well, the only thing these guys had in common, they were all 15-year-olds, and the only thing they had in common was that they could afford, you know, 2 to 6 weeks trip to the United States to learn English. And so I thought it was really interesting. We were doing this little exercise where it's like, if you're a rock, go to this side of the room. If you're a feather, move to this side of the room. And even though we're kind of supposed to stay away from politics, just out of curiosity and for a joke, I said, you know, Trump on this side of the room, Hillary on this side of the room. And there were only two guys out of the class of about 20 that stayed on the Trump side, which I thought was pretty interesting because politically, you know, I didn't expect them to have much in common. And the only kids that really were politically engaged, like I said, they were 15, were the Mexican kids who, at least politically engaged in our election, mm-hmm. who just had this such disdain in their eyes. And it was a little shameful for me because when we brought up, people would bring up the election and they would look at me. Before I got to know the students, they would kind of look at me like, is this guy going to go for Trump? Like, it kind of felt a little embarrassing that they see him as being so popular here.
Were the two who sorted themselves to the Trump side of the room from a particular language group?
Most of the well, there were a couple Turkish boys who I think they might have just been kind of messing with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were saying, but he is a great businessman, you know.
maybe they were messing with you. I don't think he's very popular in Turkey. But, Joel, thank you. Jed, thank you very much for checking in. That's a really interesting story. And so, Juan Manuel, on the point that he made that was so interesting to me, that the ones out of all these 15-year-olds, and 15-year-olds don't tend to be engaged with the news mm-hmm. all that much usually, the ones who were really engaged were the Mexican students.
Of course.
So for you as host and reporter on a Spanish language news station, are you seeing that this year compared to other elections?
Yes, and I can see totally what's happening, even in our schools, right? We have a lot of Latino kids and Mexican kids in our New York City public schools. Many of them, or most of them, were born here in New York or in the States, and they see on television how the leading candidate, one of the two leading candidates for president, is saying those things about Mexican immigrants. So can you imagine how they feel when they're watching TV and they see this politician so powerful, so popular, so famous, saying those things about people like their own parents or grandparents? So it has to be hard obviously, because of how Donald Trump decided to start his campaign with that speech in which he talked about Mexican immigrants, and then the way Spanish language media is reporting on this comes from that starting point.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, today with my guest co-host, just for today, because if you missed it at the beginning of the program, I was supposed to be away today. Visiting family in Florida, but for obvious reasons, that's off. So rather than sit home and twiddle my thumbs, or rather than tell Juan Manuel, who carved time out of his own life, to fill in for me today, no, you can't fill in for me today. We decided we would play together. So Juan Manuel Benitez from New York One Noticias and I will continue in a minute, and we will make a turn from national politics to local. Stay with us.